Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thrifters Villa, a podcast for resales and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela.
And I'm Lori, and today we are bringing back another Truth or Dare reseller edition.
We know you guys love the Truth or Dare episode in season one, so we wanted to bring it back in 2021 for season two.
All right, friends, get ready for some laughs. We'll see you at the table.
This is always fun.
I'm nervous though. I didn't like read these.
Like, yeah, I don't remember. I wrote this like 3 weeks ago. I don't know what it says.
Truth or Dare makes me nervous. But I guess the fact that we haven't read them is going to make it pretty authentic, right?
Yeah, right. Our true reaction.
How's your week, Daniela? Before we get into this, how are you?
This week was crazy. This week was crazy, but better than last week for me. Definitely better than last week. I have a good plan for the week. I already filmed 2 YouTube videos.
Oh, that's
so good.
Got
some boxes out for the real. None of my other shipping is done, but I don't care. I'll do it on Monday.
I mentioned you in my YouTube video this week that we'll post tomorrow. I called you the real police. I'm like, you know, the video is like things I'm getting done during Thriftless February because it's the halfway point tomorrow. So I just wanted to like check in, say what I'm working on, what I still have to do. And I said, Daniela, because you're so good. You're so good about pumping those boxes out. It's like a mental block for me.
That's the only way to make money. It's literally the only way. You just have to keep sending them boxes. It's just like throw it up. It's the same concept.
What percentage comes back to you? Not much.
No, not much. It really depends though. Depends on who opens a box. So I've had almost an entire box come back to me before.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. But I just sent it in. Again, I just take everything out of the duster, save the duster bags for my own personal sales that I have on Poshmark or eBay, which is great. So if I sell shoes now, I just put them in the duster bags. I have so many.
That's nice.
A nice big sweater or something to put in there. And then I just repackage it and off it goes. Print the label and off it goes. I don't even look twice at the stuff. Sometimes if it's an item that's come back like 3 or 4 times, I'll reassess it. But most of the time I just send it all.
And eventually they take it.
Eventually they take it. There's been some things that they've been pretty adamant about that they won't take. And then I try thread up.
And then I'm still coming up as Marcus DeBillo on Zoom. My son's best friend.
That's funny.
I just noticed my name was Marcus.
Yes, but you came in as Jason Tata for whatever reason, but then it says Marcus. I don't know.
You know what I never come up as? Lori Tata.
Never.
Sorry, side note. I'm sorry. Yeah.
How was your week, Lori? You have a lot going on right now.
I have a lot going on right now. Yes, it was a good week, though. I feel like I'm finally over COVID, like officially. Like I got my smell back. I got my coffee. Like smell, taste, everything's good. I think the last thing was energy. I still felt a little bit of brain fog, but I kind of feel that on a daily basis anyways. I don't know if I can blame that on COVID. But like I was at a point where everything felt okay, but no smell, no taste, and no energy. And I feel like just the past couple of days, I feel like myself again, which is great. It was a long time. Mm-hmm. To get back to this. Mm-hmm. And I'm still taking it slightly easy. But like next week, I'd like to like maybe do a workout on the Peloton or just test myself, maybe just a really light 15 minutes of just like moving my legs, like just something light. But so that was a big thing. My son Rocco got his license this morning.
Yay,
I know Rocco. I messaged you like 7:30 in the morning. He was up and out. So my baby's driving. That's crazy. And then we are driving Angelina back to college tomorrow. And so we're off to PA. I'm just trying to wrap things up. I did film a video that will go out tomorrow. But I feel good. I felt like this was a pretty productive week for me because I had the energy to be productive. So
yeah. And we had a good discussion too. We had a good little nighttime wine discussion.
Mm-hmm.
All the little things Thrifters Villa coming your way, guys, that we just can't talk about right now.
Exciting stuff. And I did mention that we had some new stuff coming in my YouTube video as well. But I think a lot of these things are happening because I'm not thrifting.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's literally like what it is. Same.
When I looked at my list of things that I'm actually getting done this month versus, and think about how difficult it was for you and I to actually meet for like a 2-hour window. Yeah.
That's all
it's been like weeks where we like keep rescheduling, and I'm thinking, what if we had all this plus like more inventory in our house and more processing? Like, so that's been, and I've been like on a month because there were a couple of weeks in January I couldn't thrift because I'm already sick. So it's already been a month for me, but the next big thing for me is my inventory, and I'm there. You know, I don't think it's going to be anything that exciting. I mean, I think there are a lot of people with functioning inventories. I just didn't have a great system. So I don't think I'm doing anything that different. It's just going to be done, you know, and I'm finally going to have a place for everything. So I'm excited for that. And that's going to actually be like, not the end of Thriftless February, but once my inventory system is done, I'm going to give myself permission to do a little thrifting.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I did do a little thrifting today. I broke the rule and I went a little thrifting today, but I went specifically for the Real Real. So I didn't go, and I did find a couple things to like list myself, but I left a ton of stuff behind. I literally only picked up things that I knew I could send it in a box, because it's my only thing that I've been having a little anxiety about, is I don't have my normal amount of boxes going out to the Real Real, and I'm noticing it in my sales on the platform, which was going to happen and I knew it, but coming off of two really great months, and now this month I'm not sending as much besides the returns that are coming back to me and a few things that I've pulled, I'm noticing it. So I was like, well, let me just go and see what I can find. But I was really good. I left a lot of stuff.
So. Well, I feel like it's part of your rhythm now. And that's one of the things I'm working on this month too. And for me, it was like Vendu was a big part of this month. And yeah, I had my first sale on Mercari this week, my very first sale. And I think with you and the Real Real, like, you've really made an effort to make this a solid part of your business. And once you get used to that money, whether it's like an expected amount of sales on Poshmark, eBay, YouTube, whatever your platform is, wherever you're bringing the money in, when you get used to it, it's hard when it's not there, but it also pushes you. So like, you know what you need to do to make whatever your expected payout is. And it's all a numbers game. So I think that's great. You know what you have to do and you're going to get it done. You're going to, you know, that's money you rely on. So I hope to get there someday with the Real Real.
I think
you have plenty of inventory. I'll get there.
That inventory, then, you know, I'm coming over. Huh? I'm coming over.
That's I'm waiting. It. Come over anytime. So one of my things for moving my inventory is I've committed to pulling 50 items as I'm moving it over. Good. So I'm either going to donate it or send it to the Real Real or consign it. But like, I just picked that number because I'm like, I can find 50 pieces out of 1300
absolutely
that aren't serving me in the current state. So, and there are definitely some luxury items that I've just been sitting on for a very long time. So there's no harm in just pulling them, marking them not for sale on Poshmark. A lot of them haven't yet been cross-posted to eBay. So it's a really easy pull.
That's really easy then.
Yeah. So for some, and then others I'll just donate The Real Real. It's on the thing. All right. We should go because we are going to PF Chang's tonight with the fam.
Yeah, we got to do this quick, guys. It's a quick episode.
Yeah. No, I mean, the natives aren't that restless. We have to make a couple returns to the mall that we're going to, and they haven't started to yell at me yet. So I think we have a little bit of time.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet.
All right. So the way we're going to do this is like we did last time. Either Lori or I will pick Truth or Dare, then we'll both answer it. And then we'll go from there.
Okay.
Sound good?
I see a question that I'm going to have to move for already.
Yeah, me too. The first dare. Yeah.
Yes.
The other room.
Mine's downstairs, but okay.
All right. Well, let's start with truth.
Okay.
You want me to read it or you want to read it?
I'll start.
Okay.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever touched at the bins?
It was at the New Hampshire bins and it was a wet pair.
Isn't it always? No, I'm just joking.
A wet pair of underwear. But I think it was just like wet, like the rain, but I don't know. But I went immediately
to the rain. You tell yourself that, Daniela. You tell yourself that.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing. And I didn't go back to that bin and it definitely smelled like urine. So.
So it wasn't rain, honey.
No, it wasn't rain. I just like to tell myself it was rain.
I was just going to say, like, it happens often, just wet bins in general. Like, just you wonder, you walk by and you're like, nobody's touching this bin and it's overflowing. And you just like dig in and you're like,
why?
Oh. And then you can't undo it. Like, once your hands are in there and they're wet, you just like, oh,
I know.
Oh, why did I? And then you might see something and you're like, well, I could go home and wash that. I mean, I would probably, you know, keep the urine on my hands for the right piece, but Yeah. So far, there's been nothing that like will keep me digging.
Yeah, I mean, the urine, I can deal with the urine. The smell is kind of gross, right? But I can deal with it. It's if like, if there's any other type of bodily fluids, then it kind of, you know, grosses me out.
You just don't know. You just don't know.
Put your hand in a bin. You have no clue.
Yeah, so nope, definitely wet bins. Do not recommend.
I'm going to choose a truth question as well. And okay. I'm going to go with, okay, what is a weird habit you have when you're at a thrift store? We all have weird habits when we're at a thrift store. We all have them.
What is a weird habit I have at the thrift store?
I have like two weird habits at the thrift store.
Why don't you start? Maybe it will jog my thoughts.
As soon as I walk to the thrift store, besides grabbing the carriage, I immediately always start on the right-hand side of the thrift store and like zigzag all the way to the left-hand side of the thrift store. I never start the left-hand side and go to the right side. Never.
I would say that's the same for me, but I say that because I shop the most at the Savers that is closest to my home, and hard goods are to the left and shoes are to the right. So when I walk through, I get my carriage and I turn right. Sometimes I'll go straight because the sweaters are there and it's like an open lane, but that's where all the extra smalls and smalls are. So I might go over one, but typically I go directly to shoes.
Ah, interesting.
See, because I feel like I can scan shoes quickly, and shoes are like a great ROI. Mm-hmm. So I like to scan the shoes first, because like if I go through quickly and, you know, I don't see anything, then I'm like, okay, I can go. Cause you know, like the racks just take so long. Mm-hmm. So shoes and handbags, I can kind of scan kind of quickly. So that I definitely do that when I go in.
So it depends on which store I go to. Most of the Savers that I go to, the shoes are on the left. So I always start on the right. And I think it's because sweaters are there. So I just immediately go sweaters, jeans, leggings. They're all in that row. So I always start at the right. But when sweater season's gone and it's like tank tops and bathing,
the worst.
Then I go to the left and start at shoes. Exactly. I go to shoes and handbags because that's where I'm going to end up finding things that are going to make me money. Right. So I definitely switch when the seasons switch, but I definitely go right to left. And then the other thing too, is the way I sort my cart. Everything's in my car. I use one side of my cart to put my hangers on. The front side of my cart has like things I'm putting back. The railing of my cart are things I need to look up. The top part of my cart where my handbag is things that I'm getting. So the middle part is empty. And then I use a rack or whatever that's nearby to hang things as I go that I might need to like look over one more time. I do it every time. Doesn't matter where I go.
All right. I don't think I'm that
anal.
Quite that, or well, you know what's funny is I always find like I come home with more than you, so I have my keepers in the big part of the basket. I have my maybes up top because I need to look those over, or like things that are once over. And my other thing that I do that's kind of weird is once I commit to something, I take it off the hanger, and if I'm still unsure about it, the hanger stays on it, and then I hang the hanger on the side just to make more room in the basket part. So I keep my maybes, and I also do that at the bins. I keep my maybes close to me because like if I find one shoe at the bin, I'll keep it in the top part. And then I keep the stuff that I'm definitely getting inside. And of course there's no hangers at the bin.
Yeah. Yeah. I do the same stuff that I'm definitely getting will eventually go into the big portion of the cart, but I just, for whatever reason, always put it on top and then put it in the big portion. I don't know. It's a habit. Mm-hmm. What can I say?
It's a habit.
We all have them.
Thrifter life. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh gosh. All right. Maybe we should do a dare. The truths are good. Oh, that's so funny. Delete 5 items out of your closet and donate or relist
them.
Let's
do it.
All right. All right. But see, now I'm stressed because I do everything from...
You should be stressed.
No, I do everything from Vendu now. And so, although some of the older stuff, okay, I already deleted one thing because Angelina was like, do you have any like fitted cardigans that I can have that are kind of cropped? So she found like a little pink cashmere cardigan that I deleted to give to Angie. So that counts as one. So fun fact, I looked on Seller Insight, which is an app that, you know, I think a lot of people are familiar with, but it gives you insight on your Poshmark sales, how long things have been listed. It has all these incredible stats. Well, there is one walk of shame tab that is how long you have had items.
Yeah.
So guess how long I have had the oldest. I've had the oldest item in my closet. Give me a number. What do you think? As far as days go.
It's got to be longer than a year. So I'm going to guess it's 458 days.
Guess again.
Oh, higher or lower?
Oh, higher.
522.
Higher.
Oh my God. 589. Lori, higher?
Are you ready?
Tell me.
I relisted it today. It's a BCBG romper, navy blush. The price tag on it is $178, new with tag. Got it at the first yellow tag sale that I ever shopped for reselling in 2018. Mm-hmm. It's been in my closet for 906 days.
Oh my God. That's so
906 bad. Days. Followed by, I have a 899, 896, 896, 895, 870, 866. It keeps going.
This is before you started relisting too.
Yeah, but these have not been relisted.
Right. And you just kind of forgot about them because you have so much inventory.
906 days, Daniela. 906.
You just forgot about it.
Yeah. Well, these will be the ones that I'm deleting. So a Jessica Simpson. What's funny is 906 and 896 are both rompers. Hey. Both new with tag.
Send them to Thread It Up. See if they sell.
I got to send them somewhere. But these are the ones. So I was considering, I'm like, well, how can I do this? Like maybe I'll do, because I want to do some sort of a sale at the end of Thriftless February. Mm-hmm. But maybe I'll just start by doing like 50% off anything that is like 600 days or more.
Oh, I mean, that's an
idea. It'll be like 200 items easily. Like just go in. I started doing 30%. It's one of my pet peeves about Poshmark that when you sort and you sort by just in, why can't you sort by oldest and then just like go through those? It's like such a pain. I feel like that's counterintuitive.
Like a real sale, like not by marking things down and putting an emoji next to it so people know.
No, like on eBay when you just say, yeah,
like just a real
select all. Yeah. 50% or whatever percent, 20%, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. I know. So like, and then to have to work backwards, you know, I guess if you share your closet in reverse or something, then you can have your old things end up at top. Regardless, I am going to do that. But yes, I will be deleting some of those items. What are you deleting?
I'm deleting, this was a donation piece. It's a Nordstrom cashmere ruffled, like no one
wears
stuff anymore. See that? It's like a ruffle thing. It's cute, but like people don't wear it. It's kind of a cropped bolero style.
That's like 2010-ish.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm deleting that, and that's going to go in my bag to Thread Up. I'm also deleting, where is this? This is called Mercy Gray, and it's a French brand. It's cashmere as well. I bought it last year, but it just hasn't moved. No one likes it. This will be another Thread Up piece. I just don't care. I can part ways with it. It's cute.
Actually, Daniela, that's really cute. That's like just what Angelina was looking for. Well, plus it's ribbed.
Because I can give it to her.
That's really cute.
Giving it to her.
I don't know. That's a good one, I think.
I don't know.
But I also have things in my closet that have been here for 900 days. So don't
really
listen to me.
I'm taking advice from Lori Tata right now.
Don't listen to me.
I actually have some Fabletics leggings that I think I'm going to get rid of and send to Thread Up as well. I'm just overselling Fabletics.
Okay. I had like a quick run with Fabletics where I feel like I sold a couple. Like yeah, it may have only just been two, but then I was like, yay, Fabletics. And I think I bought too many and marked them too high. I mean, they're just not a high ticket item. I think if you price them right, like 18 to 25, they.
Oh, here's another one. This is a pair of Victoria's Secret pink. They're like the seamless. They look like Gymshark leggings.
Yeah, they do.
Four pairs of these at Salvation Army at my first ever 50% off Salvation Army sale that I went to last year. I sold all of them, but this gray pair, I cannot move them. I have marked them as low as $10 and I still can't move them.
Wow.
So I don't know what to do with them.
Mercari.
I could put them on Mercari.
That would be good Mercari, especially for $10. Those should sell for $10.
I just don't understand. Like how much more can I mark them down?
I know it's so weird. I also am a firm believer that certain things, if you start to mark them too low, there's something weird that happens then too. Like then people devalue them or something. I don't know. I don't have luck marking things like below $15. You would think if you did. I feel like I have more luck keeping things 20 and above and then sending offers like $14 in discounted shipping or something like that. That's been my experience, but I also don't gamble that much and mark things that low, although maybe I should reconsider my 900 day items.
I also have this Anthropology piece that I'm going to end up sending to Thread Up. It is really, it's real. You can't see that. Can you? Nope.
Raise it up higher.
Hold on. No, it's like, it's the light. It's a lime green. You can't,
I'm just getting the edges of the green. I got it there. Oh, there it is. Lace.
It's cute. It's cute. It's like an overlay type thing. It's by Maeve, I think, or no, Meadow Rue. It's Anthropology. It's this lime green, cute little floral top. I've sent out very aggressive offers. It's just not going anywhere. And also I have an Urban Outfitters waffle knit sweater that I can't move that I've marked down to $10 as well. So all of these pieces that I just can't move, I'm just gonna put in a bag to Thread Up and call it a day.
There you go. Those will sell on Thread Up. Those are good. Well, Thread Up brands. I mean you won't make much, but
yeah, but at this point I don't care. They're not serving
exactly me. Oh god, yeah, no, get them out. I need to check my Thread Up account.
But I haven't looked at mine in so long.
I know. Well, my bag finally got processed.
Oh, good.
And then like things have been selling, but I feel like so much sold right at first. And now it's been like dead.
Yeah.
Like 28 items sold in like a week. They accepted 57.
Okay.
They sent back about 20-ish. I did a video on the reclaims. And now it's whatever is left. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. I'll have to check that
out. Side note, Thread Up is closing a warehouse. Did you see that?
No, but Chriselle was on our 40 and over clubhouse room. And she said that they have just like shut down labels. Like she can't get any labels right now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know if
they're clearly revamping something. They're doing something.
Something's going on there.
Who knows?
Which warehouse are they closing?
I don't remember which one it was, but it's already closed. Someone posted
because of COVID, or I mean, I feel like they're busier than ever.
I think they laid off like 300 employees. I don't think it's like lack of work or anything like that. I just think they're restructuring the way that they, I think, even take in items because they're partnering with so many different brands. Like, I don't think they have a need for as many people to process anymore.
Interesting. I have a question about Thread Up. I don't know if you know the answer. You know how they have that whole new brand list of things that they don't accept anymore?
Yeah.
Does that apply? Was that like, I mean, bags? I know that bags that were already submitted, they would accept them. But I thought I heard somewhere along the line that if you were a previous consigner, you would still be able to send those in. I don't think so. I don't know.
Any bags that don't have a date mark on their system of being received in a certain day, then you're out of luck, basically.
Right. Whether you've been consigning for years or not. They probably just have a deadline for it.
I just think their business model is completely changing. And I don't think it has anything to, I mean, I'm sure the reseller market has something to do with it. I just think that they didn't see sustainability in their business. And now they're having to go the route of having private labels come in and being their partner. That's what I think it really is. I don't think their model was sustainable, and that's why they're going the way they're going. So,
well, yeah, with all of the amount of pieces that they were sending back, and people were kind of using them almost like as a donation center, as opposed to like how to make money, and they were just sending them junk, and that was just time processing and shipping cost and all that stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Okay. What is your biggest insecurity as a reseller? That's a good question. I have a lot.
I can't name just one thing. Imposter syndrome is definitely one of them, because I feel like all of us get labeled as like an expert in one thing, and there are many instances where I'm like, I don't know the answer to half of what you're asking me, but okay. Like I may be knowledgeable in certain areas, but I think because I'm not full-time, right? Like I'm not fully engrossed. Like I'm engrossed in the reseller world, but not like to the extent of some other people that are full-time and, you know, have the YouTube and have all that kind of stuff. Even though I have it, I'm not like, that's not my main focus, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like an imposter in those areas. I feel like I don't belong. I feel like I'm just this person who is making extra money to pay off bills and save for things that she wants. And it's a weird feeling sometimes.
That doesn't make you an imposter. I mean, I think I honestly think, like, I feel like being on YouTube makes you, I don't think that gives you any more credibility. I think that just means
you've had some success. People look to you in a different way when you're on those channels, right? Like, even having the podcast in general, people look at us different because we have the podcast and we talk to different people in the community. And like, I don't want to say celebrities, that's not it, but it's like, you're kind of put in this different category and I don't necessarily feel that way. Does that make sense? And that's where I feel like I'm the imposter. Like, everyone's like, oh, Danielle's the person to talk about with the Real Real. And I'm like, no, actually Jack's the person to talk to about the Real Real. I mean, I know my stuff, but you know, I learned from him kind of thing, you know?
Right. I mean, I think there's, I say this to my kids all the time. There's always going to be somebody further along their journey you look up to. And there are always going to be people looking at you like they wish they were that far along. I mean, there's always going to be people better looking than you, richer than you, more successful. And there's always going to be people that may be looking at you and thinking you've got it made. Like, you know, you just have to be happy with where you are, mm-hmm. wherever you are in the journey. You know, I have found Clubhouse to be super humbling in the sense that kind of what you just said, like there are certain topics that maybe we feel like we might have some knowledge base. And then you have people who you never really hear from on social media who are now in Clubhouse and they're just like sharing some incredible information, and they don't really have, or not that I knew of, like some of these people are just new to me. Maybe they've been on Instagram and YouTube and I just haven't discovered them until YouTube, but there are people coming on and I get that as an insecurity, but I think you're also, as long as you're honest, I don't think
I don't lie. I just kind of say things as they come, and maybe that's a good thing and maybe it's a flaw, I don't know. I just say things how I feel that they should be or how I think work best for me. I don't necessarily project that onto other people, but you know, this is my truth kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't think not lying is ever a bad thing. Do you, does the car look clean? Is that what you just said to Rocco?
Yeah.
So Angelina is giving Rocco her car because she's like, literally he got his license today and she goes back to college tomorrow. Yeah. So as a gift, she went and cleaned out like all of her junk and like did a little like mini detail to the car and they went. Aww. And it looks really good for Rocco. So side note,
Lori, what's your biggest insecurity?
Yeah. I'm thinking about that right now. I think maybe my lack of organization. I don't think it's an insecurity. I think it's something. It can be a pro and a con. And I felt both at different times. You know, there are times where I look at it as a disadvantage. Like, for example, today Jay was just talking to me. There was an article in CNBC about like a Poshmark person who now has a private label, who made six figures in a year, stay-at-home mom, like that sort of stat. So Jay went onto her website and she was like modeling all of her own stuff. Wow. And I'm insecure about modeling my own stuff, but I don't think that's so much an age thing as a weight thing. Like, I feel like if I were thinner, I would model a lot more stuff confidently because I'm confident in like my general appearance and stuff. But even in my YouTube videos, like you rarely see full body shots of me. Like I am behind a desk or I do creative editing. If I bend over and you see like all my back fat, I just edit that right out. You know what I mean? So
that I did the is definitely, same thing. You're not alone.
Oh, it's totally an insecurity for me is my weight as far as being like present, you know.
Anything from the chest up, I'm good.
We're good. You know, I'm just going to keep smiling my way through things. That's always been like my thing. Like, oh, I'm always smiling, you know, but yeah, so that's definitely an insecurity for me in this industry in general. Like I love and admire like so many of the pages where people of all ages are just modeling their stuff. And I feel like I could really have fun with that. And I think that would really open up my business if I were to do that more often. And it's also like a little bit of a energy thing too. A, half the stuff won't fit me. Yeah. And even if it did, and I'm trying to bang out listings and I have my hair up and, you know, no makeup or whatever, is that really a time that I want to like throw something on and model it? So some of it's just a practical matter, But a lot of the time it's a fit. So that's a definite insecurity for me as a reseller in life in general. Like I think a lot.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there's that. And I think lack of organization, not an insecurity, but just something that I am working on all the time.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where I have imposter syndrome, because I'm like Miss Planner and then I kind of wing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I
feel that too sometimes. I think people think that I have everything put together at all times, and I don't. I fake a lot of it. Like, I fake it till I make it most of the time.
But you definitely put that out there, like, oh, I'm OCD or oh,
yeah.
You know, like.
And I am, but I fake it a lot of times too. I am super OCD and I like things done a certain way, but
life happens.
Yeah. It is what it is. And then I can still make it look really neat and organized, but I just planned it 5 minutes before. And it's because mm-hmm. I'm so OCD and structured in that way that I can still pull it off. Right.
But I think faking it till you make it is a God-given skill, because there are things like sometimes, you know, like just even like hosting a clubhouse room or before, you know, 5 minutes before, I'm like, do I have an agenda? Like, what am I going to say? Yeah. Or whatever it is. Sometimes I press record on my camera and I'm really not sure what I'm going to say for that YouTube video. So sometimes faking it and just kind of putting yourself out there is what gives you some opportunities too, to kind of feel the fear and keep doing it.
I don't plan my YouTubes, to be quite honest with you. Like, I just hit record and talk and that's it. Like, and then whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, that's great. But I mean, you go in, you know, if you're doing a haul, you know, if you're doing
that's all I really know. Yeah.
Right. Last video that I just did, like what's going on for Thriftless February, like I wrote down a couple notes, but I didn't, I never use a script ever.
Yeah, no, me neither. Mm-mm. I tried.
The only script we use is our first four lines in the podcast. That's it.
Just in case you were wondering about winging it, we had the intro written 90% of the time,
and then that's it
the day before,
and then a couple bullets, and it's all because of Daniela. She does all that.
Yeah, that's me, but whatever,
that's good.
So that was a good question.
That's a good question.
Let's do a dare.
Okay,
tell the audience how many items is in your money pile. I couldn't tell you how many are in there right now. I'm gonna guesstimate probably 70 items or so in my money pile right now.
That surprises me.
I haven't been listing though. I've been listing like one or two items a day, if that. Because I've just been so busy with work and just not really motivated with it all. I'm focusing on so many other things that like listing is taking a back seat. Like I'm focused on the cross listing. I'm focusing on getting inventory out. Like, so my focus has been a little different, but I need to tackle that bad boy that's in the corner just hanging out. I do need to tackle
the cross listing, as awesome as it is, and it is awesome. And I've been loving it. It is still time consuming.
Absolutely.
You're still like, you know, if I'm not just posting to Poshmark, eBay takes forever, not on any platform. because we're used to Poshmark, right? I think the people who are eBay people that come over to Poshmark must think it's like so much fun and so easy to just list on Poshmark.
Click, right? Like it's so
cool. But yeah, it does take time. Like I noticed this morning I was listing. And I'm drafting in Vendu. So like I'm transferring, like I'm writing up my descriptions and everything in Vendu, and then eBay, Poshmark, Mercari. Cause I feel like that's the level of difficulty. So like once I get eBay out of the way, Poshmark goes fast and Mercari is the fastest. So boom, boom, boom. But like I spent a good amount of time, I don't know, I would say an hour or two. It felt like, I mean, I'm sure I was like talking in between and like, whatever, just doing morning things with the fam. But then I looked down and like, I had only listed 5 items, but I really listed 15 because it was 3 platforms. But
It's a lot. And so I have a new theory on how I'm going to cross list. I'm going to throw this out there. I'm going to take page 1 of my Vendu and make sure that everything is on the 3 or 4 platforms that I want it to be on. So I have certain items that I want to put on Tradesy. So once page 1 is complete, then I can move on to page 2. And then I'll focus all on page 2 so that I'm not all over the place. Cause then that ends up, then I get like all flustered. I'm all over the place. I'm clicking on all these different pages. Let's do all Madewell items. Let's do all Everlane items. No, just focus 1 page at a time, Danielle.
Yeah, I'm doing page by page. So so what I'm doing is I'm uploading new stuff and immediately it's going to all 3 platforms. Yep. And then if I have time, like if I say I only have 5 that I happen to take pictures of that day, but then I still have like I'm at 1300 items now on Poshmark, which just frustrates me because I keep trying to get it lower and I'm listing. So that's good. But, and then I'll go in and I'll pull in things from Poshmark and then I'll do eBay Mercari, you know, still like filtering it through Vendu. But yeah, I'm just going in order until I see the three icons across, like eBay, Mercari, Poshmark, like all
very
highlighted.
Very satisfying feeling to see all those icons on there.
Yeah.
How many?
So my,
let's go.
My money pile.
I wish you could see Lori's face. Just defeat.
Well, because it depends on what you call. Like I have my bag to go to the Real. I have two
let's
giant
talk about
bags
unlisted,
right now.
Unlisted inventory that has to go on Poshmark, eBay, Mercari.
That's actually not so bad. Gosh, right now my problem, Daniela, really honestly, is the inventory, because like the listed inventory, because like I have a whole rolling rack right now and I would say 60% of it is listed and just not put away because I've been moving over my inventory. I don't know. I would say about 100. I'm going to say 100.
All right. So we're in the same ballpark. I'm between like that 60 to 75 mark. I'm somewhere in there. I have a bag in my car. It's been sitting there for, I can't tell you how long, but it's like, and it's boots. Like I need to list them. I just don't feel like bringing them inside.
Yeah. I don't, the thing that I'm not sure about, because I haven't been thrifting this month and I've listed probably 75 items from my death pile or money pile. As I'm going through certain things, I'm looking at them. I'm like, you shouldn't even be here. Like, no, I'm not listing you. Like so some of this stuff, when you keep putting it on the back burner and keep putting it on the back burner, you kind of get to a place and then you're like, yeah, like, honestly, I posted that thing in my story about trying to get that sensor off of the Zara clothing. Mm-hmm. I have had those Zara pieces
for a long time.
And I was beyond excited because they were all $1 and
I remember that
sale. Yeah. And then I ordered the two magnets. And then my friend Rafaela said, Lori, that's not a magnet sensor. And then you confirmed. And then I tried to use the wire clippers on a cheaper shirt. And I like ruined the shirt. It was white. It was a button down. It was wrinkly. I wasn't really excited about it anyways. But I still haven't removed one effing sensor. And so, and I don't know if I'm going to. I'm honestly like, and I have some really nice pieces from Zara. And I just don't know if I have it in me. Because those have just been like, talk about mental real estate. They've been in a bag for so long. Like, anyway.
I know.
Those are the kind of
way to get those off. Though I've gotten those tags off before. I've cut myself doing it though, because I don't have the tool. And I've literally cut my hands because there's those really coarse coil wires in there. Like
inside.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing a lot of people, oh, shoot. You know, I meant to share what people, I don't think I've had people swipe up on my story so much in a while. Like there were so many questions, so many recommendations, a lot of people that were like, please let me know when you have an answer. Other people said, burn it. There's a YouTube video on burning it and then it exposes the coil.
Yep.
Then you can pull the coil out. Oh. So that was one. One was like, take a hammer to it, but bring the hammer outside so the ink doesn't happen. Some people suggested, this was a good one, putting like a grocery bag, like a plastic grocery bag around one side so that whatever you're doing, it's kind of protecting the clothing on the other side of it. Some people still thought the magnet would work. You just have to hit it from the side. I mean, there were so many comments and questions about it that I feel like I kind of need to get an answer to share with people. Mm-hmm. But I decided that the flame and the hammer would be the most gratifying. That even if it didn't work, but I got my frustration out using a hammer, that would make me happy. And if I burned it off, then that there could be some satisfaction in that too. So I don't know. But anyways, and they're like, you know, 8 pieces.
Yeah, and they're really nice pieces. I remember you showing them in a video.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, I have a bunch of hard goods that I need to list. I have a bunch of American Girl stuff, but I don't know if I can consider that my money pile yet, because I'm just not sure what I'm keeping, what I'm selling. And I just have some hard goods that I've been ignoring. But Caitlin's back. My assistant is back. She worked 2 days this week and we got a lot accomplished, and because she's been out for a month because I had COVID. So hopefully we'll be, that's the goal for this month, right?
Good. Yeah. My
less
goal
than normal
is to have nothing in my pile. That's the goal, nothing in the pile, which I think I can probably do in like 2 days' time. I just haven't dedicated the time to just photograph and put it away.
Yeah, you just have to commit to it. Ryan posted in his stories about his inventory. And
oh, I saw that yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he just said, you just need to pick a day and just decide you're going to do it and do it. And I'm like, yes, Ryan. I feel like he was talking directly to me.
Right.
You know, because I don't think, like, I feel like I've been talking about it for a year and I just
haven't done
to deal with it this month. Yeah. And I think a lot of this stuff is like that. You just keep putting it on the back burner.
And then you look at things and you find them and you're like, oh, I bought you? I don't remember you at all. When did I buy you?
Yeah.
Really bad. Why have you been sitting here for this long? And then it sells right away. And then you feel like a complete moron.
Yes, totally. All right. Take a selfie right now that we will use for the episode Instagram. For this episode. Oh my gosh.
Take a selfie.
It's a good thing I have makeup on because we're going to dinner. I'm going to move over here and get in the light. Hold on. Can I just send you one where I look cute? Oh, I don't have that much makeup on.
There's a thing called filters that we can use.
All right. Make my teeth white. Make my wrinkles go away.
No double chins, you know.
All right. I took a bunch. I'll send you one.
Perfect. So
that make me look good.
Part of our Instagram post with the selfie that we just took. All right. How much time we have here, Lori? You got to go.
Jay just told the kids 10 minutes. So maybe we can do two more questions.
All right.
What's the worst comment you ever received on YouTube or Instagram? I have a few.
I have never gotten a bad comment on YouTube yet. So I can't respond to that. I wouldn't say this was the worst comment I ever got on Instagram, but it was an interesting comment that I got on Instagram. And it was from a Savers employee who's local who made an account to follow resellers, and I still can't figure out which Savers employee it is, but basically it was like calling out all the resellers that commented on that on my photo. I don't remember which, this was like last year at some point, and was basically saying the reason why the prices are going up are because of you guys, blah blah blah, like just basically confirming all the things that I think a lot of us assume when we walk into a thrift store. You know, he I believe it was a he, I think I know who it is, because he kind of when I go into this particular Savers, he's always like walking around to see what I'm doing. So I don't really go to that Savers that much anymore. But
wow.
Yeah, probably the strangest thing. I think, so here's my philosophy. I haven't seen in the last month or so when I went to that Savers. So maybe he doesn't work there anymore. Maybe he was just a disgruntled employee that was a reseller and then maybe got caught or something. I don't know. Some of the things that he said kind of hinted to that like he may have left the company because of something like, you know, something sketchy was going on. So
interesting.
Yeah. So that was really it. I've never gotten like a bad comment. Not yet anyway.
Oh, I have quite a few.
So you're on YouTube much, like you have a bigger channel too. So that Instagram post, that fur Instagram post, that was, you got some interesting.
The fur Instagram post. I feel like that's well covered territory. And that's actually somebody, the person who commented that is somebody who is like a loyal follower. And like the next week was like, great haul. It's like, okay.
So you like me now? I'm confused.
Yeah. That was interesting. That's when for those of you who may not know, that's when I bought a mink at a yard sale for $10 and I featured it in a What Sold video, and someone really came at me. And I think my take on it all is that the animal had already sacrificed its life. And if I could pass it on to somebody else, but there were people who made really good points about why even reselling it kind of perpetuates the problem. And those people were super respectful. And, you know, they said you can donate to shelters and the furs can go towards animals in the shelter, keep them warm. And I'm like, that's a great use for furs. Yep. Yeah. No, there were so many people who were very anti reselling the furs who were just totally respectable. And I appreciated that because I welcome conversations. I would say one of the, this has nothing to do with reselling. And I probably shouldn't even bring this up, but it was on my Instagram channel on Instagram. And it was a political thing where I posted, a picture of the new president. That's it. And somebody swiped up and said, you know, I followed you for a long time. I can't believe you would support abortion. And I wish I could read it. It was like unbelievable. It started by, Lori, I followed you for so long and I really like you, but really ? With the emoji of somebody vomiting.
Okay.
And I just wrote, I'm very happy. That's all I wrote.
Right.
Nothing anti anybody, just right. Like couldn't, I'm quite happy. Right. That's we all are I wrote.
Entitled to our opinions.
Yep. And that's always my thing. Like it just be respectful. I have such dear friends on the other side and it's okay. It's really okay. As long as everybody's respectful, it's really okay.
Of course.
And I wasn't posting anything anti anybody. I literally just posted a picture. Like that's it. Right. And so anyway, and it was in my stories. I said nothing. And they just said, yeah, all those things. And, you just lost a follower, and that sort of thing. And so I didn't even respond. I don't respond to that stuff. I just blocked that person.
Yeah.
And then I had somebody, when should we stop? I have more.
Lori clearly has a lot of these. I have nothing.
There was somebody, just people generally, and this I can say as a more general thing is, people who watch my videos and, you know, it's disgusting what you do, that you, take from the poor and sell for a profit, like, and then brag about it on YouTube.
Goes on and on and on.
Yeah, that sort of stuff. So my kids have actually told me that they don't want me on TikTok because they said resellers on TikTok get ripped apart. And they're like, we just don't want that for you. Like our generation doesn't like resellers. That's what my kids have told me. I'm like, well, that's a generalization, but they're like, well, I just don't, you know, people love thrifting and, but they like to do it for themselves. And I don't know. They said any account that I follow that is reseller based on TikTok. And I'm like, well, you're not following. Like that's all I follow. That's my right. For You page on TikTok. It's all resellers. And
right.
Not that I read every comment, but that was my kids' general feeling about TikTok and resellers, which I mean, I don't discount what they say. I think it's interesting. I don't necessarily agree with them.
Yeah.
I haven't had that experience.
Right.
But I also, that hasn't been super like my content. Like I've talked about like using a sweater shaver and things that sold this week. And I didn't even say like what I paid for them, but anyway, all that stuff. But that's a general comment that pops up in some form on YouTube often.
I always assume YouTube is more of the place where you get these type of comments than Instagram, because Instagram, it's pretty curated. People that like that kind of content are typically seeing it in their feed or in the search, or mm-hmm. they're searching specifically for whatever hashtag it is. So I feel like it's a little different, unless you're posting something super controversial and your followers are then, you know, commenting on it. But in terms of like outsiders commenting, it's, I guess, more rare on Instagram. Or on YouTube, I mean, all it is people that follow you and don't follow you. So it's and you're getting it from both sides.
Yeah, you definitely leave yourself up for more scrutiny on YouTube. Yeah. So I'm a sensitive person, but I mean, I'm also relatively confident and I feel like I put good energy out there and I try to keep an open mind. So, you know, there are just people, haters gonna hate. That's where that expression comes from. You know what I mean? So, all right. It is getting late. It's 5:17.
Yeah, let's just cut it short. That's it, guys. All right. This is our
truth. That was fun. That was fun. You made some good questions here. Yeah.
The only one that we didn't do, but we can do this in any episode.
Do it. If it, the brand one?
No, the what's dump what's in your purse and tell us what's in it.
Oh, gosh.
We can do that whenever.
Mind, I can tell you right now without dumping it. Lots of thrift store receipts. Hand sanitizer, gum, and chapstick.
Mine is my wallet, my sunglasses.
Yeah, my wallet.
My wallet, my sunglasses, gum, mints, savers receipts that haven't been touched in probably 2 months that should probably
that need to be filed away.
Yep, filed. And my inhaler.
I should have been curling my hair while I talk to you for dinner.
Perfect. All right, guys. That's really it. That's all we got.
All right. That was a fun one, Daniela.
Yes, it is fun. And next week, Lori and I are going to have another fun episode that we're excited to bring to all of you. We're going to have a vintage cellar on at one point too, which you, and that's going to be fun. We're trying to be a little different this year. We're trying to expand our horizons here at Thrifters Villa.
Always, always.
Always expanding our horizons and bring you guys some fun content. So yeah, that's what we're going to do. We will talk to you guys next week and go out there right. And do the things that we can't thrift.
I am off to PF Chang's. I love you guys. Thanks for joining us today. And Daniela, I'll chat with you soon, babe.
Bye.
Bye.